One of the things that was a preamble or a predicate to the Feast of Pentecost is fear. In fact, almost without exceptions, readings that are connected with the early parts of the Feast of Pentecost are all connected with fear and response to fear. Whether it's Habakkuk or Ezekiel or I've been thinking about you know Harry and Rick especially, but in a certain sense Barbara and Don also, they think of the possibility of when they talk about me being a nightline or something, you know, it's all around, yeah. And I think sometimes you forget that these are the sharpest people in their world. And I can't work up and say that I'm afraid of it. I'm not afraid, but I don't have any idea what would happen.
It might not turn out like we might want it to.
And whether or not it's, I think you all know that I'm going to be on the Eagle again this Sunday. And, this guy spent, he's a very bright guy. He spent the last month thinking up the most difficult questions, the most...
Rich?
Yeah. The most, what?
Get out of here.
What? Well, you go on then.
I can't do that.
Well, I mean, but my point is, you guys think that it's
like war games or something.
I'm not saying to you that I'm afraid. That's not the issue. What I'm saying to you is, that the Feast of Pentecost has two. It has the one thing I said is fear. The second thing that's attended to the Feast of Pentecost, celebrated in knowledge, is a public expression. And in one case, the public expression of the feast was the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters. And then the world came into being. Another case, the public expression in the Feast of Pentecost was the destruction of the Tower of Babel and the confusion of all languages. Another case, the public expression was the giving of the law and all of the attendant. I mean, every one of them, there's fear attendant to it. And now in the book of Acts, the public expression was well, the precursor to the public expression was the disciples were gathered together in one accord in fear.
Right.
Now, so the Feast of Pentecost is in essence the Feast of the Forum. Mm. Now, it's not just my forum. It's a forum for the doctrine into which we have been delivered. And it's... I'm not going to go into this tonight in any detail, but I'll give you an idea. I found, in every occult activity since... for thousands of years, 2,000 years, one of the rites of the more powerful occult phenomena is the repeating of the Lord's Prayer backwards. Well, I try, you know, I try to figure out what it meant, why it did it, and what happened when you did it, and until I finally, in a book called The Fifth Gospel by a guy named Steiner, it gives it backwards. And the reason I never understood it before was that I never understood why, in the repeating of the Lord's Prayer backwards, the first words are Aum Amen, instead of Our Father which art in heaven. And then it goes not in a stylized way vis-a-vis the repetition, but its prayer is the Lord's Prayer in the Antichrist or the occult becomes the reversal of the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer in the Gospels. Not in liturgy, but in meaning. And it starts out with Amen, because you have in your mind what you want before you pray. And so by your prayer in saying Amen at the start, then you have defined the arena that God is going to work in. You understand? And that's not smart. So what God has done with us, because of the cross being preached, you might pray around, pray for stuff, but that's not in terms of a sense. The prayer is always, I don't know what the hell's going to happen next, but there's a desire that's almost, that can't be visualized in many instances. Okay, so the reason I'm saying all this is because you end up, the celebration of a feast doesn't count unless it's in knowledge. And so now, each year we've celebrated in a greater degree of knowledge each of the feasts. And now I think we will celebrate this because of the high place stuff in both this group and the other group, and because of some other things that we've seen, we'll be able to celebrate the Pentecost in a greater, far greater degree of knowledge than we've ever celebrated. And so therein, I believe that will be the precursor to the Feast of Forum. You understand? Now, and I say this, if that's true, then the fact that you are experiencing fear is exactly right on target. It's the trial of faith, so that when you are truly publicly identified, and that you then truly have been delivered from the three, from Egypt, from Babylon, and from Edom. And therefore you will not fear any faces of men. Now, and it ties in what Gary's saying too, because the idea of the Feast of Pentecost is the Feast of the Shaking. That's what the tuna power, the wave offering was, is the shaking. It represented the shaking of all things. And so in Hebrews, when it counts and when it says that, you know, yet once more shall he shake all things. So that which is unshakable may remain. Well, judgment always begins first in the house of God. And so if he's shaking you up a little bit, rejoice.
I told Judy last night that I couldn't do anything but rejoice on her behalf, because I know she's going through some really miserable stuff, but
did you whap him?
I was glad somebody was rejoicing. I sure wouldn't.
I love when Judy cries.
Well, it's you're being presented as a wave offering.
Yeah.
You got some leaven in it, but that's all right. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Back to the forum thing for a second.
The thing about saying amen first, because you know in your mind what you're going to pray for, that may be the opposite of taking on thought for what you say. I mean, all that stuff. I've seen too many times what happens when you go on autopilot. I mean,
the hell does that mean?
Well, when you, I don't worry about you being in front of the Ted Cobb or anybody else, because when you just let go, I've seen what happens. So I don't worry about you.
Well, let's go to Habakkuk. Three. We're supposed to read 2 and 3, but I don't feel like reading 2, so we're going to only read 3. Okay? Everybody got it? Yeah. This is one of the readings that. And remember, I told you that the more. I don't know about the time of the temple, but in the Hasidim and for in the Zohar and other places, the if you're outside the promise, outside Jerusalem, the Feast of Pentecost is a 2-day feast. And the more pious among the ancients stayed up all night on the intervening day or an intervening night and studied and read Torah and read the prophets and searched out the hidden meanings in the book of Ruth. And then the last thing that's done, well, you know, during the time of the wave offering, the Hallelujah song, and then the last thing that's done in the, on the feast is the Psalm 98, which is a really neat psalm. But the things that lead up to that are really woe stuff, as we'll see. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Upon Shigionoth. Now, nobody knows for sure what that means, but it means that it somehow it has to do with music, and it means that it was either sung in rhyme or that it was sung some way.
It's in a syncopated devil rock music beat.
Probably. O Lord, I have heard. I have heard. That's the rarest thing in the universe. I have heard. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. That's obviously a call for the desired one. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. God came from Teman. Now, we studied this before, but Teman is the south. Remember I've told you in the symbolism, the north is always the origin of the opposer of Satan, of the evil one, of Babylon, all that. The south is always the origin of God. And now we see, you know, Harry said that one of our purposes is to make the Southern Cross visible in the Northern Hemisphere. The Southern Cross hasn't been visible since the crucifixion. It's a constellation. It's the only of all the constellations. It's the only one that looks like it is. There's no way you could look at it and see that it isn't a cross. Every other constellation is weird. But the Southern Cross. No, but it's disappeared from the Northern Hemisphere. It's disappeared from Israel. Okay. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light He had horns or rays of light coming out of his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. Now, that means that the, remember we've talked about this before in the, that light, as we know it, is simply the garment for the light. And so even in the brightness of the light, even the brightness of the sun, even the brightness of the Mount of Transfiguration, that brightness is only the garment that's clothing God. So he's hiding his power. You understand? Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. Shut up. He stood and measured the earth, and he beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Now, who's he talking about there? Thy bow was made quite naked.
The bow is his strength?
No, that, it's talking about your bow, the human race. It means that your strength, you were defeated. Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsin. You've been judged, and beware, beware, you've been weighed in the balance and found lacking, found wanting. See, that's so basic. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. So why do you gad about to change yourself? So you can want more? So you can be found wanting more? It's either his resurrection or it's nothing. According to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Now here's a biggie. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, or of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Okay, now, obviously that refers directly to Revelation 13, where he raised himself from the deadly wound, head wound. He keeps trying to do it. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with troops. Or attack, or invade. Now, again, the Feast of Pentecost, another thing it is, it's a feast of invasion. It's a feast of attack to anyone who's taking a stand about anything. although the fig tree shall not blossom. Again, the Feast of Pentecost is a total and complete denial of sensory perception. The Feast of Pentecost is a total and complete denial of your ever looking at self again. For any reason. No matter how much people try to get you to make you look at self. Now, you guys don't see, you see yourselves differently than I see you. But one of the great joys for me and all of you is to see the less and less of the I motive in your life. Now, you don't know that. You don't realize it. So what? Now, again, this is like all this kind of stuff of the flesh here. These next few verses, you can't. Nothing looks right. It's all carnal. All the carnal stuff. Everything is wrong. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I mean, that's big time trouble that's everything that you need to survive, including all of the spiritual symbolism. About the fig tree and the olive and the grapes and, you know, and the wheat and the animals for sacrifice. Nothing's going right. Absolutely nothing. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, how in the world can you say that? Only because you have been attacked, invaded by an alien power that needs no thing in time and space to accomplish his end. Now, but in his mercy, he is, rather than wiping you out to accomplish his end,
just almost wipes you out.
rather than wiping you out to accomplish his end, he's patient. Yeah. Because he wants you to be in agreement with him. That's what confess means. Not with your mouth, but with your life. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation only. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Rather than fearing your high places, you'll walk on them, you'll kid on them, you'll piss on them if you feel like it. You'll make fun of them. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 3. No, Isaiah 42.
This is so steeped in symbolism and poetry and everything. Just reading this stuff cracks me up.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they've been reading for at least for 2,500 years at the Feast of Pentecost. Yeah.
They meaning Orthodox Jews?
Jews. This is what Christ was reading. This is all of his life. This is what the disciples were reading. It's what Judas was reading.
Well, I keep thinking about this, but you said God wants us to be in agreement with him. The word agreement gives me that one of the neatest sights there is a couple dancing that they dance perfectly. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful to watch. And that's agreement.
Behold my servant whom I uphold. And behold means look at. Intently. Behold my servant whom I'm uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Then hustle. A bruised reed shall he not break. Didn't give a shit whether the. I mean, this is here. He is denying sensory perception again. If you see it, a bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Again, you understand what judgment unto truth? He's bringing forth judgment unto truth. That's the process that he's doing in you. He is looking, he is causing the judgment to come against anything that isn't truth. Judgment takes place in you in a non-linear fashion, so that anything that's time dependent within you is destroyed. Do you understand? He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord have called thee. Now you gotta hear this. This is not, don't, this isn't history any longer. This is you. Now it's no longer Christ in you. Now it's Christ as you. That's the meaning of this feast. I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee. Now that means garrison you. And give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's your heritage. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Do you understand that the world hasn't seen the glory of God? Because he's not going to give his praise to graven images. Do you understand that what goes on in the name of religion in this world is simply soul power? That every one of them is full of vomit? That every one of them, their lives declare that they are saying the Lord's Prayer backwards. That every one of them are trusting in oppression. that every one of them use cause and effect to further the name, their, what they think is the name of God? That every one of them denies the finishedness? Do you understand how the aisles are waiting? Do you understand how the blind are longing to see? Do you understand how the prisoners are waiting for someone to break the bars? That's your heritage. Behold, the former things are come to pass. It means they're done. They're history. They're gone. They have no meaning. They are without purpose, except that they brought you to this time. All former things. Guilt is a former thing. A cart rope, you're trying to get... You're over here, and time is way back there, and you're still dragging that shit with you. Former things are come to pass. That means they are finished.
I gotta say this now. A couple months ago, you were on me one night, and you said that that I delighted people failing. In particular, it was about this Jim and Tammy Baker. The last night we sat at the house and watched them on TV. And when it was over, I went in to lay down and go to bed, and somebody inside of me was praying for them. Yeah. And it just blew me away, because I wouldn't do that.
Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now, what is the new thing? This isn't talking about some grandiose idea you have to... This is talking... The new thing is something that never again is dependent on time. The new thing is something that never again is a function or affected by things of this world. The new thing is the lively hope that you have been begotten unto by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in you. And now is that seen in its fullness in you, now you have a right to proclaim that new thing that's coming to pass to those around you. And that new thing needs nothing else except himself. Therefore also the Feast of Pentecost is the feast of not power as we think of it, but power in terms of efficacy, ability, sureness. It shall not fail. You know what my greatest expectation was? My greatest hope, that there would be four or five that would understand. In my wildest dreams, I never believed that at the end of the process, when God said it was over, that there would be now 30 or 40. I did not believe it was possible. For a long time, I didn't think it was possible for two. Then I saw that the possibility existed for there to be, you know, four or five. But to have 40 or 50 people in like precious faith is more power than you've ever dreamed of. You got it? Again, now we can begin to study the book of Acts. Now you can begin to live the book of Acts. and much, much, much more. Verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song. You know what that song has? You know what the common denominator of that? The common denominator of that song is that it never again has the personal pronoun in it. Except in the negative. I.e., as in the Hallel, not to us, Lord, not to us. Not to us our praises due. But it's your name only that we give the glory to.
I was thinking of turning that Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's still kind of a personal pronoun that you play with. Probably Jesus Christ in himself.
Amen.
Amen. You're out of the picture. Praise God.
Amen. You understand, you still are in the illusion. There's some of you that still fall back into the lie that you have a separate will. That you have been a independent person blown away by two things. That Christ was competing for your alliances and that Satan was competing. And you've been sort of this little guy that's sort of been bounced around. The Feast of Pentecost is the certainty that you have never been an independent will, that you have been either Satan or Christ. You've never been anything other than that. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Now, what does that mean, let the inhabitants of the rock sing? Interestingly enough, I think, as far as I can determine, whenever that kind of a scripture is used, it's always talking about a place in Edom called Seir. And the rock is this city that's built into the side of the mountain called Petra. And it represents your stony heart. Because it's in Edom, or Adam. And it's the dwelling place. But now it doesn't matter. You can even have leaven in the offering now. Doesn't matter.
Pentecost is also the it's too late now. Basically.
Oh yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. Now, he shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Okay, that's what happens on the Feast of Pentecost. It's a feast of destruction and a feast of devouring. Remember how many prophets of Baal were killed in Baal's temple when Jehu tricked them? He's going to do it again. Now the place that he's going to trick them is in your temple. call a feast, call a solemn assembly. All right. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind. Okay, what he's done? He's drying up all other source of life other than that which cometh from himself. I will bring the blind. Now we're back. It's only those that are in a state of need God's talking to now. Only your neighbors. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. So how in the hell can you think about it? I keep trying to tell Tyra that her ideas of what can take place are limited by the experiences she's had to date, by the impulses to the brain. All of yours are. But since, you know, you've got to know that what's about to happen has no source in your own past experience. The only anchor that can be here in now is that because of what happens on the Feast of Pentecost, you know you are loved and accepted without condition. Then, God, take it. And don't let that which he is taking and where he's taking us be limited by the puniness of your own imaginations.
So it's the end of closed systems too.
Oh yeah. Whether it's in personal terms, in terms of ways you are, in terms of personality. Look what he did on the Feast of Pentecost to this poor dumb fisherman from Galilee, who just before had denied him three times, had tried to start a rebellion against the disciples and took six of them with him to go back to their old ways of living. And after at Pentecost, Peter made a speech that is one of the finest speeches that exists in the modern world in terms of clarity and organization and proving the point and all the other goodies. Well, you're better off than that dumb fisherman. You probably have a higher IQ. I'm sure you have a better vocabulary. What can he do with you? Don't let your mind stop what he can do with you. Don't get in the way by defining what your imagery of what will take place. It's too small.
I just had a thought along these lines of what, always trying to define time, people are doing that. But the effect of time on us is a whole interweaving of experiences and memories and emotional this, that, and the other that molds us into what we are. And it's either by what has happened or what we imagine will happen. So we're caught in the middle of what we think might happen if all this stuff, or what has happened that makes us into what we are. And it's like, right, eventually time will be no more, or the effects of time will be no more. We'll have no past, we'll have no future, we'll be here now.
Right.
And God's able to live.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's, remember what I'm telling you, that the next thing we're going to do is sort of lay hands on everybody and that they can. Your priesthood will not be as Aaron. You will be high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was without beginning, without end, without mother, without father, without. Mm. And that's what it means to be a father in the spirit.
Existed from the first estate.
You've known him and been with him since the very beginning.
Yeah.
So your priesthood, and the reason you'll exist, is to offer service. I love that stuff. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Hallelujah. And crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Now, that's... Now let's see what's going to happen to the rest of the friggin' world. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. Now, we all know what that means. It doesn't mean... They're not thinking that they're... You know, when people were praying to Baal, they thought they were praying to Yahweh. You understand that? There's nobody dumb enough to say, once he'd known God, to say, oh, I'm going to go pray at Baal's house for a while. All right.
That's good.
Let's go visit.
In other words, everybody's idea of God, I mean, they put all their names on it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of idea.
Same thing.
But yeah. Because it has the wrong name.
Everybody's going for the big guy.
That's right.
It's completely... He only reveals his name and everything, what all that means by revelation.
Okay. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Who are deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? Perfect meaning fully tested. If you're fully tested, then you're never concerned with symptom. You don't even see it. It doesn't matter. The flesh is always the same. All these guys are always trying to get me to watch Jim and Tammy or watch this and this or watch this. I don't want to watch it. It's the same as it always has been. Jeff just chewed me out because I don't know who he gave me. Hey, there's something.
I thought you liked to watch those people.
Oh, I quit. I haven't liked him. No, I don't.
He didn't like it even when he did it.
No, I got mad. But seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed, spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none deliver. For a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto this law, unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew it not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. So what does that mean? The Feast of Pentecost is the feast of the baptism of fire.
This was one of the readings for Pentecost?
What?
Well, I just got the strangest feeling that seeing correctly is the view that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had from inside that fire looking out.
That's right.
And I have a feeling that celebrating Pentecost and knowledge means seeing, actually seeing that the world is on fire.
Okay.
It's like on Pentecost then, the disciples right around them, it had become reality, it had poked through.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a reality to all the rest of the people too, but because they didn't see it in themselves, nothing was happening. In other words,
I want you to visualize. Try to visualize inside. This is fun. I gotta tell you, I can't let this one go because it'll blow your mind. It'll tickle. I want you to. If what I'm saying is true, and I'm whether or not you believe it or not, it's true. That time was ripped, and that's the fire that was seen. Then I want you to look around, and wherever you looked, it was that same rip. You could look nowhere where the rip wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. That would be wild.
It's the same rip, but wherever you looked, that's where the rip was. And from that rip, source of fire, these little pieces of flame jumped out and shot like lasers at the speed of light, or almost the speed of light, over and sat on each of these frightened, mealy-mouthed, denying disciples that were trying not to be conspicuous. I love that.
Keeping a low profile.
But can you, I mean, I love stuff like this in my mind. When I try to, I could try to imagine this. But, you know, wherever you look, you're looking at the same rip. But it was wherever you look. But if you look, it'll tax your math gene.
It's a good thing, Larry.
Unless you don't have one.
Okay.
I understand it perfectly.
I don't understand it. I want to see it.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. You understand? The Lord hath made known his salvation. Past tense. What's the definition of evangelism? To make known salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation. Past tense. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of all heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Remember, the name of this feast is an alternate name in the Hebrew is Chag Ha Asareth. The feast, or the party, or the happening of cessation.
Because God's remembered.
Right. Now make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise in rejoicing and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. I feel like quitting. We're going to read these again. All we have to do is proclaim his finishedness. And make fun of everybody that doesn't. Mock them. Mock them. Oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. You want to watch me?
Why do they hold stuff up and wait and do this thing? Why? What? Is it attract God's attention or something?
Well, it's one of those deals where if it wasn't accepted, then Israel was in deep shit. And the ways, whether that or not they knew it was accepted, have been lost in antiquity. I mean, the Talmud, I haven't been able to find, but I know that something happened when they were waving. And if it was accepted, then Israel could exist. If it wasn't accepted, Israel couldn't exist.
It had to be lifted up.
Well, there's all kinds of little things about it. I mean, one of them is, in which they said, well, they lifted it and they moved it in the shape of a cross. No, they didn't. That's one story. But I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that's unknown about it. I mean, this is a mystical offering. And so there's all kinds of little dealies about the one. I mean, it takes a little while to find this kind of stuff out. But you have to. I know it's in the Talmud, or either in the Zohar, but I haven't been able to find out what that signal was that it was accepted. Remember when in...
The fact that everything didn't explode.
No.
Well, in this case, it was I'm fascinated by God picked it, had to pick a moment for the sound of the rushing wind and the flames. And evidently, he picked the moment.
On the way. Right. And then what happened is those 3,000 people were the real way of offering. And had been, in one sense, and, you know, in one sense, they'd been leavened with the new leaven.
Kind of like, it's almost like any type of the priests who were killed, and you had 3,000.
Right.
New thing that's created, like the creation of the world.
Amen. Okay, take it, large person.
Good.